Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Lorna Vanderhaeghe as my special expert guest. Lorna Vanderhaeghe is a woman's health expert who has been writing on the subject of nutritional medicine for over 25 years. She has a Master of Health Studies and a degree in biochemistry. The author of 8 books, Lorna has been educating people on how to combine the very best of mainstream medicine with scientifically backed nutrients and diet changes to achieve optimal wellness. She has a monthly newsletter, and her website, hormonehelp.com, has over 4,000 pages of helpful nutrition information. Good morning, Lorna, and thank you very much for being my guest on this edition of SNU.
Well, it's just my pleasure to be on your show, Corey.
And, you know, we've known each other for many years, in fact, decades, and I'm sure we've been watching each other grow and do our thing. And I'm very impressed with what you're doing in your life right now and the people that you're helping, Lorna. And, you know, you're so busy. You've got so much stuff going on. But I'm sure our subscribers and our listeners would like to know what it is about this industry that attracted you to it and keeps you involved at the level of activity that you're involved in.
Well, it's a great question. I mean, I got involved in looking at alternative medicine, as it was called back then, 29 years ago, when my oldest daughter had just finished breastfeeding and she got head-to-toe eczema. And I went from physician to physician and skin specialist, and they all told me there was basically nothing they could do other than give her cortisone creams. When I looked at the side effects of that, I decided that wasn't going to work. And I went into a health food store for the very first time. And the woman in the store looked at my baby and said, "Oh, she has an essential fatty acid deficiency. We can fix that up in a few weeks." And it was a mess. And I didn't really believe she could do this great miracle, fix it up in a few weeks. And within 3 weeks, my daughter's awful eczema was gone. And that was it. I was completely intrigued by this entire field of medicine where we use plants and nutrients and diet changes to affect major changes in people's health. And so I went back to university and got a degree in biochemistry and was heading on my direction to become a medical doctor. And that just didn't work out in the cards. I got accepted but couldn't go. And since then, I've just been writing and talking to people and educating them on how to feel better and live longer.
You know, and I think we first connected. You were the editor of Alive magazine. Is that true? Is that
That's
the right
correct.
Term? Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you get connected to Alive magazine? And maybe you can tell us a little bit about that story.
Well, I worked for a big multinational company making a great big fat paycheck every year. And after my daughter's health recovery, I started looking for a job in the health industry, in the natural health industry. And there was an ad in the local newspaper for a position at a health company. It was called Flora Distributors at the time, and they also at that time owned Alive magazine. And so I started working for them. I quit my big figure job and went to a little figure job so that I could do what I love. And it was a great place to start, because when you are constantly editing and researching articles, you're learning at the same time. And so that was basically my start in the industry, and it just grew from there.
And I remember you invited me to make a contribution to the Encyclopedia of Natural Healing, which is an enormous project at that time. And weren't you overseeing that as well?
Absolutely. The Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine also won the prestigious Benjamin Franklin Book Award in the U.S. That was a great project, and you were a contributor, and there were many contributors, and I took all of those contributors and made their work sound wonderful and put it all together in this great big giant health encyclopedia, which is still available today, and that was a lot of fun.
So with all the stuff that you're doing, I mean, if anyone goes to your site, I mean, it's just obvious to me how very busy you are, but I know how busy you are just by knowing you on a personal level. But you're formulating products, you're lecturing, you're writing magazine articles, you're writing books, you go to trade shows, conferences, you're hosting an internet show. What drives you to keep going forward? And what is it about your experience in the now that helps you to stay motivated to keep doing this?
Well, it's real simple. Every day I get thousands of emails from average people who have very serious life-threatening health problems, and the horror stories. I mean, all it takes for me to get motivated during the day is to get an email from a 28-year-old woman who's had a complete hysterectomy because her mother has ovarian cancer. So those things make me very motivated when I hear terrible stories about, you know, women who've been diagnosed with mastitis of the breast when actually what they have is inflammatory breast cancer. I can tell you that if I'm tired that day, I get very motivated to spread the word and teach about natural medicine and teach people what they can do to stay healthy and how to get the right kind of medical care. I think one of the most appalling things is that people cannot get proper testing, they can't get proper treatment, and that doctors are really not listening to people about what's going on with them and then how to fix things without doing more harm in the whole process. So it's easy to be motivated.
I think, you know, what I got from listening from you on one of your shows on a podcast from the internet is that you're extremely thorough and you listen. You really, really listen to your people and you remain quiet. Like while they're presenting their concerns, you listen carefully to exactly what they're saying and then you kind of reel it back to them. And I can see that you are able to overcome a lot of the anxiety and a lot of the fears that some of these women have just by the way that you talk to people.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think often, you know, most of us, me included, when I have something wrong, I go to the doctor and I tell the doctor the story. And then in the best case scenario, what we'd like them to say is, okay, let's do some testing to find out if it's this, this, and this. Then once they find out what it is, they go, well, you have two choices. You could use these natural remedies, which will get to the underlying problem and correct them, or we can use these drugs and we can give you natural remedies as well to help protect you against the side effects of the drugs. Most people would like to know everything there is that they can do themselves to get well. And when I get people contacting me, it's usually after they've gone the medical route, they're frustrated, they're afraid, they don't know what to do yet, and they feel absolutely dreadful. I mean, in regards to hormone problems, which are very, very complicated, and you have to listen to all the little simple things, because sometimes those are the big things. They will tell you more than anything else. And so, yes, I tend to really listen, because sometimes that's the first time somebody's really listened to them as well.
Yeah, isn't that a good point? Now, you're an accomplished author. You've got 8 books, and your latest book, Sexy Hormones, and you and I and Tracy and some friends got together recently in Toronto and had a few laughs and a nice chat about some of the contents of that book, which we really enjoyed and
yes,
look back fondly. But in this book, which is very intriguing and of course timely, because I know that there's, you know, big problems out there with feeling sexy and being aroused, etc., you talk about bioidentical hormones, and this seems to be a concern or a topic of interest even in mainstream. So what are bioidentical hormones exactly?
Well, we have basically two types of hormones. We have synthetic hormones, which are synthesized from chemicals, and they do not look like the hormones that are made by your body. And those would be things like Premarin and Provera, for example, which are synthetic estrogen and synthetic progestins. And then we have bioidentical natural hormones, and these are still made in a lab. We take things like soy and we take wild yam and we take those two plant sources and then we take them to a lab and through several steps we make them into a bioidentical hormone. And what that means is it is identical to the hormones that are made in the human body. And these hormones tend to be safer. We do have research on them. Often you'll hear medical doctors say, oh, there's no research on bioidentical hormones. Well, there is. We do have clinical studies in humans using bioidentical hormones. But they're still hormones. This is one thing I always say when we're talking about hormones. A hormone's a hormone, a hormone. And we have to be very aware that hormones are powerful messengers. And when you take one hormone, you change a whole host of other hormones down the pathway. And so even if we're using a bioidentical hormone, we have to use them with respect. We have to use them as directed. If it says a quarter teaspoon, then you use a quarter teaspoon, not a half or a teaspoon. And you get monitored regularly to make sure that we're not knocking some of your other hormones out of balance.
Now, your book teaches how to use the hormones properly, and it teaches how to balance our sexy hormones. So what does the book also address in terms of what is it about a woman in general? Of course, you know, everybody's unique, but why is it that men tend to look at women or talk about women or perceive women as generally not having the same kind of sex drive that they themselves experience, especially as they're getting older?
Right. Well, actually, the interesting thing about sex drive, I think a lot of it is perception, because obviously by all the ads for Viagra and Cialis, men have problems as well. It's just that for women, we tend to see things like a 43% loss of sex drive. So 43% of Canadian women have no sex drive, none. And that is not just something of a 50-year-old woman. We see that from ages 20 and up. And the worst group to have the lowest sex drive is the 30-year-old group. And that's because those women have families, they're working full-time, they're just too busy and they're stressed to the max. Mismatched sex drives is probably one of the biggest relationship problems out there. And I have a big section on that in the book, because it can create a lot of distress between couples when they have a mismatched sex drive. I think the reason why we see such low libido in women has a lot to do with stress, low testosterone levels. Most doctors never test a woman's testosterone levels. And Dr. Petal and I found when we were writing the book that 9 out of 10 women have the testosterone levels of a 90-year-old. And I can tell you, she'll have no sex drive if she's got extremely low testosterone. In Canada, we have the highest rates of low thyroid in the world. And when you have low thyroid, you have no sex drive. So there's lots of reasons why women have no sex drive.
Would you agree that young men coming out of family environments and through the high school process do not truly understand the function of a female, their sex drive, and how they even operate in terms of their desires and what turns them on and that kind of thing? Would you agree with that in general?
I would say most men, doesn't matter what age they are, have no idea. No, I really, truly do. When I was writing this book, I read, and I don't mean that as a negative, nobody teaches us, right? Nobody teaches us. Most women don't even look at their anatomy, so they have no idea how it even works. And one of the things that I found when I read every single sexual health study in women that was published in the last 10 years when I wrote this book, the number one complaint in every single study where the women filled out questionnaires was no foreplay or little to no foreplay and relationship communication issues. So in the book, I actually have a whole section on talking to your partner. It's for both of you to read together. And about being truthful, because when we figure that 43% of women have no sex drive, another study found 28% of women in all age categories from 20 to 90 have never had an orgasm. That means there's a lot of women faking it and a lot of guys who have no idea. And that's sad.
That's amazingly sad, no kidding. And I'm just thinking, like, I'm a father and I have a son. And is it the father's job to teach his son how to interact with a female? Like, should I teach him how to have sex with a female? How does a boy growing up learn, other than, you know, meeting a girl for the first time and doing it hands-on, how does a boy learn how to take care of a woman sexually?
Well, it's a great question. I mean, I was a single mother, so I really grappled with this. I have two sons. When they turned 19, I gave them a great little book. It's called How to Make Love to a Woman and Have Her Begging for More. And it was it's a sweet book, and it works like a charm. As a man who's in a relationship with a woman, because you have a wife, you teach your children every day about love. And it's about love. It's not just about sex. And so foreplay doesn't just happen in the bedroom. It's about, you know, kissing your partner on the back of the neck when they're doing the dishes. I mean, there's so many ways that you can, you know, have that sexy hormone thing going. And women are complicated. I mean, we know this because Viagra abandoned their research in women because they believe all of our sex drive begins in our head, which it pretty much does. So in the book, I actually have tips for men. You know, if your wife is freezing cold, well, you better turn up the heat in the bedroom because she's not going to take her clothes off and pull the covers back.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of insight that we can gain from women if men will listen. But where does religion come into this too? Doesn't that kind of complicate things, like when it comes to talking about sex in the home?
It creates a lot of issues when it comes to women today because, you know, back in the days when I was young, I mean, we were taught it was bad and you don't do this and you wait till you're married. Well, it's bad and you don't do this. And then when you get married, you're supposed to do it and it's all supposed to be fine. But you've been programmed for the last 20 years that this is a bad thing. And so a lot of women, even today, women are taught good girls don't like it. And that's awful because, you know, what happens when you finally are out there with your partner? You have this negative programming in your brain. So in the book, Dr. Petal and I also dealt with that, how to do positive aspirations around all of this and feel great and good about your sex life. It, you know, there's the physical, there's the mental, there's the emotional, there's the spiritual, and it's really about love.
Yeah, I agree with you completely, and I'm the same way. I need to mix the love with the sex to really feel that special chemistry and moment and everything that it means to me on that personal level, and I agree completely. Now, how much does it impair a person if their sexual life is not in order? Like when we look at the emotional, the spiritual, the financial, what percentage of a person's health can be affected by sexual impairment?
Okay, well, this is a good question because the Canadian Medical Association Journal just published a new article where they said to medical doctors, these are general practitioners, the ones we see every day, that if you are not asking your patients about their sex life, you are missing a huge part of their overall health. And what they found was that when people don't have a great sex life, they have more depression, they have more diabetes, they have more heart disease. I mean, the list was quite endless of things that were associated serious medical conditions, because one thing that happens when you're under huge stress, you create all of these disease conditions, your sex life usually dies as well, and we don't have that physical connection that can make us feel better and help us get through some of these things. So it's interesting, you know, it is a big component to being a healthy person. Now, a lot of women will say to me, you know, I'm finished with it. I'm through menopause. I'm done with it. I don't want to do it anymore. Well, if you're happy with that and your partner's happy with that, then fine. But if you miss it, and most of the women who contact me really are sad. I mean, they're 30 years old and they're completely horrified. They don't know what's going on. And, you know, here we are giving women the birth control pill at 13 years old. And now we know that the pill causes the cell that makes DNA for testosterone is damaged in a lot of women taking the birth control pill. So, you know, we've got a really messed up situation.
No kidding. And of course, all of this relates to some level to like being that this, you know, SNU and what we're all about is about physical training and exercise and sports nutrition and athletics. Would you agree that physical conditioning and taking care of yourself as you age, staying lean and functional and being in shape, would also be, you know, a value added to your sexual experience as you age?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the fastest ways to increase testosterone for both men and women is to exercise. So if you go to your doctor and you ask for a free testosterone test, it's F-R-E-E, because we're looking for testosterone that's not bound in the blood. So a free testosterone check, and your testosterone levels are low, I would tell you, go and exercise. And in the Sexy Hormones book, I have a whole section on physical exercise and how important that is to sex drive, about how you feel, about enhancing your testosterone levels, right down to Kegel exercises for women to do to strengthen the vagina, to stop prolapsed uterus, to give them better orgasms. That whole section there is about getting fit and strong and feeling better. And some of the nutrients also help to do that as well.
So this is true mind, body, spirit medicine.
Absolutely. It's everything involved. And, you know, I mean, it's sad when you think that some people in their relationship, they've moved so far apart because of their busy life that they haven't had sex for years. They haven't gone to the gym. They're becoming couch potatoes and they're really not happy.
So just because people sleep in different beds doesn't mean they have an active sexual life?
Well, a lot of people sleep in separate beds and still have an active sex life. And generally, those people sleeping in separate beds are doing it because one person snores.
Or maybe one person takes up too much room or elbows the other person in the head.
Yeah.
It's more of a practical thing, isn't it?
Exactly. And, you know, the one thing we have to remember is that it's about what works for you and your partner. I mean, I had a woman who emailed me the other day, and she's 55, and she says, you know, I have to get the sex thing sorted out because my husband's going to leave me for a 30-year-old. And I emailed her back and I said, well, maybe you should let him know the information about 30-year-olds, that they have less sex drive than the 50-year-olds before he walks out the door. But I did help her get that problem sorted out so that she could, you know, go back to having a healthy sex life with her partner.
Well, a lot of this is perception, too, because I remember when I was younger and my perception of success in marriage was that I had to sleep with my wife in one bed. And the idea of having separate beds, for example, meant to me that there was no sex, that it was a total failure, and that it was kind of a mockery of the relationship. So a lot of us as young people are given a framework of thought about what sex is supposed to be from our parents, which in often, I guess in many cases, it's kind of a dysfunctional model, isn't it?
Well, it is. My children don't have to worry about that. They're all grown up, and they have to deal with their mother doing talk shows now on sex and sex drive and sex life and boxes of personal devices showing up at the door. So, you know, I mean, they don't really have that concern. But, yeah, I think a lot of it is modeling from when we're kids. The bottom line is we can fix it. If you want to fix your sex drive, we can fix it, and we don't have to reach for drugs. I mean, the health food stores are full of fabulous clinically researched nutrients that can help both men and women get their libido back, improve orgasms, just generally improve overall health.
Now, I know that your book, Sexy Hormones, talks about the top 10 pro-sexual nutrients that can change a woman's love life and health. What are some of those pro-sexual nutrients?
Well, tribulus, which is most often thought about as a male herb for enhancing testosterone, has recently been researched in women, and they found it enhances testosterone to normal levels, won't take it over the top, and balances out all of the female hormones as well. And in the clinical study, the number one complaint from the women was excessive libido. So if you have no libido, meaning you never think about it, then tribulus will be something you want to take. Choline bitartrate, which enhances acetylcholine, and acetylcholine is really important for the build-up towards orgasm. It also gives women those vaginal contractions during orgasm. L-arginine, which we hear about for men, it also works in women. You know, our female anatomy needs to have blood flow to those organs. We need to have nitric oxide happen in order to have an orgasm, so L-arginine works as well. And ginkgo. They did new research in ginkgo where they found women taking antidepressants could finally have orgasms when they took ginkgo. And I think the little blue pill for women is the Uricoma longifolia, which is a Malaysian herb that literally gets you having rocking orgasms. And the combination you can find in Sex Essentials, which is a formula I developed for women. It took me 5 years to find something that was going to work in about 80% of women. And it really gets your libido back and improves blood flow and lubrication as well.
Now let's talk about your product line, because you've been working on this for quite some time and you've got some fantastic formulas. I see all the health food stores across the country flooded with them. What are some of your most popular formulas, and what are your thoughts on quality control and following the science when you put your formulas together?
Well, that's a great question. Well, all of my formulas are put together based on human research. So the ingredients may not have all been tested together in a human study, but the individual ingredients will have been tested in humans. The big thing about safety, you know, people are really worried about China right now. In Canada, we have incredibly strict regulations. As long as your products are developed in or are manufactured in a Health Canada certified manufacturing plant with GMP certification, we know that these are good quality. They test everything when it comes in for all of the contaminants before it ever even gets to the manufacturing door. Then it goes through manufacturing, and then we test again. And I go one step further. We third-party independently test every third batch of product on top of our testing of every single thing. And that's important. And I always tell people, you know, if you're worried about products and their contamination issues, buy Canadian, because that won't happen. If you're buying things from the U.S., you may have to be more concerned about it because they don't have such strict regulations in regards to manufacturing.
Now, a lot of our students that are in the CSNA program or are personal trainers, and there are people that work in health food stores that are interested in sports nutrition. There's a lot of female athletes that are training other females. What nutrition advice do you have in general for female athletes to safeguard against some of the concerns that women have more so than maybe men?
Well, women athletes, female athletes, have to be very aware of not messing up their hormones. If you stop having menstrual cycles, that's a good indicator that you're seriously overdoing it and that your body fat mass has dropped so low that you're no longer getting regular female cycles. And that happens to a lot of female bodybuilders especially, and to runners. And that's a scary thing, because then what happens is you're no longer having regular female cycles or any female cycles, and osteoporosis sets in immediately. Your fertility is gone. And so women have to be aware of ensuring that they get adequate protein, proper nutrients, that they have good recovery time. It's absolutely essential. And one of the products I developed initially, my very first product, is called Estrosense, which I think every woman and man who is a bodybuilder should take to keep their estrogen to progesterone ratios healthy. And for anyone who's working out and they're, you know, doing everything they can to be fit, and you can see these nice defined muscles with this layer of fat on the belly. We call that estrogen belly. And Estrosense helps to get rid of that in athletes. So we have a lot of bodybuilders male bodybuilders that are taking Estrosense to help stop the conversion of estrogen from testosterone to estrogen.
Now, that's very interesting. Now, what is that product formula consist of? What are some of the ingredients?
Estrosense contains indole-3-carbinol, which is phenomenal for keeping your estrogens in the safe level, also for halting the conversion of testosterone to DHT and testosterones to estrogen. So keeping your hormones in the right pathway. Also D-glucurate, sulforaphane, green tea extract, milk thistle, rosemary, lycopene, and also turmeric. And this combination, each one of those ingredients has been researched to keep those hormone pathways going the right direction. Also, we have to remember that the liver is a key organ for hormone function, and these ingredients also help to support hormone function in the liver and also stop abnormal cell growth. But the bodybuilders absolutely love it for getting rid of what we call estrogen belly, stopping the conversion of testosterone to estrogen. And for women, it's to keep their cycles absolutely effortless.
Now, you've got some really nice vitamin and mineral formulas, don't you?
Yes, well, FemEssentials, which is it's everything a woman would need to take every day. Her bone nutrients, her fatty acids, all her vitamins and minerals. For men, it would be Forward Plus, which is developed by Dr. Julian Whitaker. And they come in packets, so you don't have all those plastic bottles on your counter, and very easy and simple to take. You can take it with you and eat them wherever you go.
So, yeah, we promote our shake and take. So we make a whey protein isolate in water with a nice essential omega-3 rich oil, you know, add in some ribose or glutamine, creating various greens, things like that. So your packs would go very well for the athletes who are into the shake and take mode.
Yeah, absolutely. It's simple. You know, environmentally, I think it's better as well, because we're not packing around all this plastic. And, you know, people are busy. I mean, if you're not having a big enough meal, then you may have to take your supplements with you so you can eat it at lunch with your next meal. And that's why I did this. It just made life simple. Plus, I found when I was going to my daughter's houses that they may have run out of their B vitamins or their vitamin E, and they hadn't refilled those, but they were taking vitamin C and other things. And this way, it's all together. You never have to worry about running out of one vitamin, because they're all in the packet.
Now, something is related, and I want to talk about DHEA. Now, the World Anti-Doping Association does not permit athletes at the Olympic level, and I also just competed in Greece in the Natural Olympia. I'm not allowed to take DHEA, any amount of it whatsoever, but I don't agree with that position, because isn't it possible, like I'm 50, and as my DHEA sulfate levels decline, which, you know, we've seen the graphs, they decline in everyone as we age. Isn't there some anti-aging value, some benefit to taking DHEA for both men and women?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that happens in younger people, when you're under considerable stress, and remember, just being an athlete puts physical stress on the body, your cortisol levels go up. When cortisol rises, DHEA naturally drops, and there are huge benefits to DHEA. It's an immune supplement, it's an immune hormone. It's also a precursor hormone, so it's a hormone for all your other hormones as well. And, you know, in people who have autoimmune diseases who correspondingly have low DHEA, they have lots of inflammation. So in athletes, when their DHEA levels drop, their cortisol levels go up, or vice versa, And what happens is they get tremendous inflammation and you get more rapid aging. So I agree. It's interesting because it's made by the body. So how can they be telling people you can't take DHEA? I mean, it's interesting because your body's going to make it. And if we lower cortisol levels, we naturally see DHEA go up as well.
Yes. Well, I guess some of these crazy young kids that were taking like 1,600 milligrams a day, trying to force, you know, the metabolic yield of more testosterone and, of course, getting into nothing but trouble.
Yeah.
So, of course, we can take something that's really good and produced within the body on an orthomolecular level, and we can destroy the body with something. Even iron can be toxic if you take too much, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, iron's very toxic. The thing about DHEA I'm always cautious with is that you don't take it unless you need it. And the reason for that is because it can also cause proliferation of abnormal cell growth. So in women who have uterine fibroids, which is a very common problem in women over the age of 35, we can see when people take DHEA in huge doses not being monitored properly, their fibroids can grow into 3-pound footballs. And then they have horrible, heavy, heavy, debilitating periods. So I'm always cautious about DHEA, and especially in men, because it can convert into testosterone and then into DHT and into estrogens. And so we do have to be careful with it. But I agree with you. If you need it, if you've been tested and you have low DHEA, I mean, a small amount of DHEA is fabulous.
One more question before we talk about your website, and that is, I heard you talk about what you call a fabulous diet. And what do you mean by that exactly?
A fabulous diet. Well, in a perfect world, it's organic whenever you can buy it. And you start the day with protein. I mean, I cannot stress this enough. We have so many overweight women and men, but particularly women who do not eat breakfast. 50% of Canadian women do not eat breakfast. They have coffee or tea, and they don't eat till 10 o'clock in the morning. And that sets the stage for being fat and overweight and unhappy. And so starting the day with protein and a really good protein-rich breakfast, eating every 3 hours. When we eat longer than every 3 hours, what happens is we teach our metabolism to slow down. We actually are telling the body we're starving it to death. And the body's smart. It shuts off the fat-burning furnace. It says, uh-oh, she's in famine mode, so we're going to store everything as fat. And what happens is you get fatter and fatter, and of course you're hungry, and then you gorge on food. So eating every 3 hours, lots of greens, green everything. I mean, you should have a giant bowl of green stuff at every meal, and good clean sources of protein, free range whenever you can get it, and lots of good healthy fats.
Wonderful. Sounds pretty fabulous to me.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Thank you so much for that. Now, let's talk about your website/websites. Maybe you could give us the address and then maybe talk about what it is that you offer on your websites.
Sure. The website is Hormone Help. That's H-E-L-P, so the word hormone and the word help.com. And I hope people go up and sign up for my e-letter that goes out once a month and listen to the past podcasts with all kinds of great people. And it's a work of love. I mean, it's constant. You're always working on your website, filling it with new information and adding to it and changing things.
Yes, no doubt. And I actually downloaded some of your past interviews, and we promote a concept of emojication, combining positive emotion with music, with the education of tutorials.
Nice.
While you're training.
Nice.
So I'm going to let everyone out there know, go to Lorna's site, download some of these excellent interviews that she has with experts. Her own information is fantastic. Mix that with the music and start leaping and jumping in the gym, pump some iron, and really retain some of this great information. Lorna, our time is gone. Thank you so much for your wonderful insight and your expertise.
Well, thank you. It's just been a pleasure.
Lorna Vanderhaeghe is a women's health expert who has been writing on the subject of nutritional medicine. She is a fabulous individual who is dedicated to supporting everyone in need and has boundless amounts of energy and insight. And Lorna, we thank you very much.
Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with sports nutrition update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.